Well, good morning, everyone. Morning. I have spent the last few weeks pondering this question. What is freedom? It might even be worth just quickly turning to the person next to you and saying, what is the first thing that comes to mind? What is freedom? All right, your moment's up. I'd love to hear your answers afterwards. Please come and tell me, because I think that it can look like so many things. I wrote a very small list. Freedom could be life without boundaries, doing what I want when I want, the ability to have free choice. At one stage, it was the ability to vote, and in some countries it still is. And for some, it is the release from captivity. Well, the passage this morning starts with a rally cry, doesn't it? It is for freedom. You have been set free. But what is this freedom that Paul's referring to? Well, I have a little clip that I'd love to show you.
I'm William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight? Live. All right. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives? But they'll never take our freedom!
Awesome. Who's going to go home and watch Braveheart? Sunday night viewing back here at the church. No. So, William Wallace was asking the Scotsman, what will you do with your freedom? And today, after we've explored this passage, I'm going to ask you the same thing. What will you do with your freedom? So I want to focus on some key truths about life and how God made us and how He intends and how He intended our life to look. So, number one, the first thing we have to understand when we look at freedom is sin. What is God freeing us from? It's the sin in our lives. So, let's take a good old trip back in time, all the way back to Adam and Eve, to God's creation of the world. When God created earth and the cosmos and the animals and the plants and people, it was perfect. God's perfect creation, everything as it should be. It was very good, to quote Genesis 1:31. It was so good that God sat back and He enjoyed it. That's what the Sabbath is. God enjoying His creation. And this is how the world was supposed to be. This was humans at their best, living with God in perfection, perfectly relating to one another. Now, when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve, everything changed, especially God's relationship with humanity. No longer was it perfect. And the problem with that was that sin had entered the world for good. It's here to stay. And it's that sin that is now in the world that hinders our relationship with God. It gets in the way. So God mercifully created a way that his people, the Israelites, could be in relationship with him. And this was called the covenant or the law. Now, when we look at the covenant and the law, we have to remember that God is holy and pure and perfect, and it was right for him to create boundaries for a sinful people. He had to create boundaries for a sinful people to relate to a pure God. So the fall meant an end to the perfect relationship that people had with God. And now God's people had to be given a new way. New ways to be in relationship with God and new ways to be in his presence. And we always need to understand the Israelites through this lens. God, through the law, had to give them a way to relate to him. But these new ways were always going to be imperfect because of us, humans. Nothing could change the fact that sin was in the world. We all have sinful desires. But praise the Lord, and we know this, God has a rescue plan. Jesus. So when Jesus came, when God's only Son came to earth 2,000 years ago, his saving plan was to save us from our sin, to make our relationship with him perfect again. His saving plan has always been to make our relationship with him perfect again, as it was in Eden. Yes, he took our sin, our past, our present, and our future sin on himself. He knows everything that we're going to do in our future, and he put it all on himself in that one act on the cross. He died for all those sins, and doing so, he freed us. That was our freedom. That is our freedom. He freed us, and he freed the Israelites and us from the law. He freed them from the law. It's for freedom you have been set free. What have you been freed from? Sin. So Paul is petitioning the Galatians in verse 1, Christ has set you free. Don't let yourselves be ruled or burdened by the law anymore. How tempting would it have been for them to continue to live by these rules that they were so accustomed to? But Christ, taking all sins upon himself, put the law to death. So Paul's petitioning them, don't do that anymore. You are free. Live this new way. Now, we have never had to live by the law. Thank goodness for that, because we're on this side of Jesus' death. But he did, by dying and taking our sins on him, he did save us from having to live that way. The law for the Israelites was not a saving plan, but it worked as a means to reveal just how sinful they were. So Christ setting them and us free was huge. It's the game changer. It is the game changer that the world has ever seen, whether people know it or not. That is it. That was the game changer in life. He changed the world. He changed the rules. No longer does he even look at us as sinful and polluted. Because when you know Christ, when you've accepted him, when you repent, You are, as Isaiah 1:18 says, washed as white as snow. You're shiny and new. You are set free from sin. So Paul, in verse 13, says, don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. We can still indulge the sinful nature. I read this quote during the week. It says, it's easy to think freedom is the right to sin or the privilege to do whatever my evil heart wants to. Instead, this freedom is the Spirit-given desire and ability to do what we should do before God. Remember I said that sin is here to stay? Christ has forgiven us from sin and freed us from the law, but we're not immune to sin. And that won't be a shock to you. I'm sure it's not a shock. So Paul implores us to stand firm. We're petitioned not to indulge the sinful nature. But how can we possibly do that? And point two that I'll make is the how. And I'm sure you're all thinking, Fiona, you say I'm free from sin, but that's not clear in my life. It's not a representation of what my life looks like. And guys, it's not a representation of what my life looks like either. So we're all in the same boat. But we are forgiven in Christ. God has given us, you'll be pleased to know, a way to help us live, if you will, like he intended things to be at the beginning. We can't go back to Eden because of sin. And one day, Jesus will return and he will bring the heavens, new heavens and the new earth, and sin will be no more. That is what we have to look forward to. But while we're still here on earth, we will be living with sin. So we heard a few weeks ago from Karen Reed that after Christ's death, after he put death, sin to death at Pentecost, God changed the world again, his second game-changing move. He gave each believing, repenting follower his Spirit to live in their hearts. He freed his people, and now he gives us all an invitation to come and have a new relationship with him, because Christ now lives in us. This is the Holy Spirit. When I talk to my kids about the Holy Spirit, I tell them, guys, it's the part of God that lives in your hearts. God lives in each and every one of us. He dwells in us. And let me remind you that the Israelites, they didn't have God living in their hearts. They didn't have God living, dwelling in them to help them. They had the law. But we do. And so the Holy Spirit can help us daily. See Galatians 5:16. So I say, says Paul, live by the Spirit. It's a choice. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. We live in a sinful world, but God has given us a way to resist. Paul doesn't say you will now live a perfect life now that you have the Holy Spirit in you. Paul says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify those desires. So let's quickly look at the list. I'm not going to explain them all. Paul says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And what I like to look at them as these are the sins that came into the world at the fall. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And if we break those down, we can see where they are in our lives. How easy it is to be jealous of someone. How easy it is to think of ourselves and be selfish. How easy it is to get into a fit of rage if something doesn't go our way, or get drunk, or have sexual lusts. So when sin entered the world, we started living selfishly. These are really selfish sins. But what are the fruits of the Spirit that God gives us, that he places back into our lives and our hearts? Joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there are no law. And how good is it that self-control is on that list? My goodness, because so many of these sinful acts, I'm sure we can ask for self-control for. So the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God in us, is growing these fruits in us, ready for us to use. How cool is that? So I ask you, have you ever asked God to grow one or more of these fruits in you? Well, many years ago when Nigel and I were first married, I would say that I got impatient really quickly, very impatient, frustrated. Oh, is this a reflection on Nigel? I'm not sure. No, I had always been like that. Frustrated, impatient, those types of things can be quite rude. And we talked about this, I think, in my Bible study at that time. So I decided to start praying for a year. I decided to dedicate a year to asking God for patience. Many people say that you might have to pray a lifetime for gifts of the Spirit, so start today. I was praying for patience at that time in my life, and I was actually seeing a counsellor as well, not for that, for other things in my life. And I was really upset about something. I was telling my counsellor about how this person in my life, not Nigel, someone else, was really upsetting me. And I wish I had patience for them, and they were challenging me so much. And the counsellor turned to me and he said, Fiona, you are displaying great patience, because I wasn't acting out my feelings, I was containing them. It was such a shock to me that I went home and I cried. And I said to Nigel, I think I have patience. I can't believe it. Oh, he probably thought I was crazy, but it was so significant to me. It was so significant. God can change us through his Holy Spirit living in us. Sometimes we have to remember to ask him to help us. So he asks us to live by the Spirit and not to the sinful nature. And why? The answer is there in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Jesus said all his laws could be summed up: love the Lord your God, love your neighbour as yourself. So he wants us to use our freedom to serve one another. Love your neighbour as yourself. This was really eye-opening for me this week. It's not just for our good use. It actually helps us serve and love one another well. And when we love one another, our focus shifts off ourselves. And by loving and helping one another, we become more like Christ, who came to serve and not to be served. Isn't that cool? It's just awesome. So our fruits make us more like Christ. Let me end by mentioning one of the verses from the 2 Corinthians passage, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, who lives in each one of us. So, friends, in the words of William Wallace, what will you do with your freedom? Will you choose to live according to the sinful nature, which you have been freed from? Or will you choose to live by the Spirit who is in you, offering to grow these glorious fruits in you? Let us encourage one another to choose to live by the Spirit. And I'd really love to pray for us for these things this morning. So please join me in prayer. And then Rachel will continue to pray for us. Lord, thank you that you've provided a way for us to be free from sin. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to stand firm, to choose to live by your Spirit and not to the sins you've freed us from. And Lord God, if anyone here today wants your forgiveness and wants your Holy Spirit for the first time in their hearts, please forgive them and fill them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.